Let's turn them to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you're using one of the blue Bibles right there in the pew in front of you, it's page 1172. 1172. And as I mentioned, we're going to be kind of backtracking some and going over some of the same scripture that we have looked at the last few weeks, but having a little different focus and making it a little bit more practical this morning, if we can. Please stand with me as we read. We'll begin reading in verse 12. We'll read from verse 12 all the way through verse 25. The word of the Lord says, "Blessed is the man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say that I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and he is enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice he gave us new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creation." Verse 19. "My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, must be slow to speak, and they must be slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right after he forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer who acts, this person will be blessed in what he does." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will be those who are hearers of the word and that are doers who act. And I pray this morning that through our time together, you may help each one of us to consider what it means to be a doer in our own life and how we can plan to that end. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It is officially football season. As of yesterday, as of actually this past week, televisions all across the United States of America were turned to watch 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-old boys in different colored uniforms run into each other and try to score more points than the other team. And people have been waiting for months for this activity to begin. They have been, some of them who are participating have been running and lifting weights and watching film and studying plays and practicing and planning for months now in order to go out yesterday and to participate in this game. And if you were on one of these teams, clearly the goal for any of these football teams is to win the game, right? The goal is to win. So if you ask somebody, what's your plan for the game today, and they said, our plan is to win, well, that wouldn't be too surprising, but it wouldn't be that helpful. So you might say, well, how do you plan to win? And then they might say something like, well, we plan to score more points than the opposing team. And well, that doesn't really help either, because that's not much of a plan. All that is a different way of saying that you want to win. But sure enough, if you kept asking, well, how do you plan to win? Well, there's going to be very specific plans in place. They're going to have a very rigorous list of these things, and they're going to call them out to the quarterback or to the middle linebacker, whoever's kind of running things from on the field. And they're going to have a plan, and they're going to try to execute that plan the best way that they can. It's not going to be a generic thing like, let's win, or let's score more points than the other team. It's going to be on third down when we have more than 4 yards to go and you're the left tackle, that your first step with your left foot should be 6 inches outside to the left and you should try to catch the guy and force him outside. Right? They're going to have extremely specific plans of action in order to carry out the goal that they have, and the goal is to win the game. Well, as the scriptures have made clear, and as we spent a lot of time last week talking about, the intention or the goal for us as Christians, as we fellowship together, as we encourage one another, as we read this letter, it says to not just be those who hear, but to be those who do. And it's easy to kind of stand up and say, well, you should be one who does, and you should be a doer, and you should be a doer, and you should act. You shouldn't just hear, and you should act. But a lot of times, for those of us who preach and who teach, sometimes all we do is stand up and say, you should do it, and you should do it, and you should win the game, and you should score more points than the other team. We don't spend a lot of time really talking about actually how to do some of those things. We don't really stop and say, well, here's a plan. Here's a specific action point or something that you can do. And we tried to do some of that last week. But this week, what I wanted to do is I wanted to stop and spend a little bit more time on some of those specifics that we can do and that we can share with one another. Now, much like any sort of athletic event or any sort of sport, as you practice and as you take part in this, you learn different things and you learn different methods and you learn different ways that work better for you and that fit better into your life schedule and fit better into your life circumstance or that season of your life. And so some of the things that I'm going to be sharing this morning may not actually apply to you where you are today. Some of them I may not have thought of because I've never even considered your life circumstance in the same way that you have. But what we want to do this morning for just a little bit is we want to talk about how to accomplish some of these actions. How do we really be doers of the word? Well, before we do that, let me just stop and say that God is a God who plans. Okay? There is, as we spent actually 10 weeks here talking about God's big picture, God's big story, God's big plan of redeeming all the earth, of what he was going to do, is his plan from the beginning, that God is a God who, he isn't waking up every morning kind of like a golden retriever and blah, 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 the day starts over and just whatever happens, happens, right? That's not what he's doing. He has plans, he has specific purposes, so that when Jesus comes, he says that before the foundations of the earth, God had plans and purposes that this day would come and that these people would turn over this innocent man and their evil, even in their evil intent, that God had a purpose and a plan for that. So we know that God has plans. God is planning throughout history. We also see how those plans start working themselves out in the lives of his people. And so you think about Abraham, that God had a plan for Abraham. He said, I'm going to have you to be the father of all the nations. And all of a sudden, the one who's supposed to be the father doesn't have any kids. Right? He's supposed to be the one who's the father, the grandfather of this great generation that's going to have more people than there are stars. But he's not able to have any kids. But that is part of God's plan, and as we see that unfolding, you can see God's purposes and his intentions for how Isaac comes along and how God asks him to sacrifice his only son, and you start to understand some of the purposes or God's plans in that. The same thing happens with some of the other major characters in the Bible. You see it with Moses, you see it with Joshua, you see it with David. And this morning I want us to look briefly at how this plan works itself out in Moses' life, because later in the service, we're going to spend some time taking the Lord's Supper together. And so I want to see how this plan or God's plan works itself out in Moses' life in this specific situation. And in Exodus chapter 12, and you don't have to flip there, but in Exodus chapter 12, we're finally to the point where Moses, you see God's plan because God put Moses in the basket and dropped him in the river, and then he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And so Moses was raised up in the Pharaoh's house. So he would have known and been a part of all that. And then he goes off to the desert for a long time. And then God calls him back through the burning bush. And he says, I want you to be my representative. And I want you to go back to Pharaoh's house, the place that I put you when you were a baby. I want you to go back there. And I want you to tell them that these are my people who are working, who are slaves for Pharaoh. And I want you to tell them to let them go. Right? So at VBS this year, we did that. And we covered the sanctuary with all this blue tarp and made a huge Red Sea. And as Moses raised his staff, the little kids marched right through the middle of these aisles, and they were just thrilled that the seas had opened up and that God's plan to deliver these people from slavery had happened. But the night before that the sea opened up, and the day before in VBS, what we did is we did what it says here in Exodus chapter 12. God had given plagues, one after the other, and they started mounting, till finally there was going to be a tenth plague, and that plague was that the firstborn in all of Egypt was going to pass away unless there was a certain condition. And that condition is mentioned a couple times, but here in verse 21 through 23, this is what Moses says. He summons all the elders together of Israel, and he says to them, go select an animal from the flock according to your families and slaughter this perfect or unblemished Passover lamb. And then take a cluster of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and brush it on the two doorposts, some of the blood in the basin. None of you may go out from the door of this house until morning. Because when the Lord passes through and strikes Egypt and sees the blood of the lintel on your doorpost, he will pass over and he will not destroy anyone that is inside the house. So in other words, the elders are supposed to go and they're supposed to get this lamb and they're supposed to kill it. And as the blood drains into the basin, they're supposed to take this hyssop, put it on a stick, dip it in there, get the blood, and put it on their house. They're supposed to paint their house with blood. And as the Spirit of the Lord comes into Egypt that night and starts destroying animals and people, livestock, everything that is a firstborn, if there is blood that is covering the door, then life is preserved and there is protection. And that was God's plan. And that was God's plan for Moses. Today, for you and I, as we look at how to become wise people, as we look at how to become doers of the word, I want to talk about what that plan can look like in your own life. And I'm going to begin with this question. Do you have a plan? Have you ever thought, what do I want to do in my spiritual life? What areas do I want to grow? In a year from now, how do I want to look different than I do today? What area of spiritual discipline do I want to work on in the next 12 months, or maybe in the next 3 years, or the next 5 years? What is my goal? And if you look back, and you look, okay, in what areas have I grown in the last year? What would I say I've grown in my own spiritual life in the last year? If you didn't have a plan on the front end, it's going to be much harder to look back and see the places that you have grown. Now, it may be very clear the Lord may have worked in an area of your life. You may never have intended to set out in that direction, and it's clear God has worked and He has changed you. He's won victory over an area of sin. He's delivered you from something you've carried around for a long time. It may be very clear. But for most of us, if we don't have a plan, as the saying goes, our plan is to fail. If we fail to plan, we're planning actually to fail. And I think that is the case oftentimes. And as we see all of this wisdom that comes through James, he's pointing back to the Proverbs. Over and over and over and over, James is pointing back to the Proverbs. He's known as the book of wisdom in the New Testament, and the book of wisdom in the Old Testament is Proverbs. And throughout the book of Proverbs, what we see is this idea of how to plan and how to carry it out. So what I want to do is I want to ask you what your plan is, not just for your spiritual life, but also for other areas of your life as well. What are your hopes for your family? Not just you, but for your family. What do you plan to do with your family in the next year? Have you thought about that? What do we plan to do as a church in the next year, in the next 2 years, in the next 3 years? And we've worked on a lot of that on Sunday nights. We've looked forward, tried to think about what we can do in the future. So here are some very practical things. And again, some of these may apply to you and this week. And I don't encourage you to write all of them down, but I do encourage you to think and consider, which of these practices might I take as part of my own? Might I implement into my life so that I can really become a doer of the word? So I might really become a person who not only hears, but takes action. The first action that I think we need to take is what it said verse 4 is, if you are a person who does not have wisdom, the scriptures are telling you to ask for wisdom. Another way to say to ask for wisdom is to say to pray. I think all of our planning must begin with prayer. We don't want to start out planning and set up all these things and not have taken time to consider what it is that God wants from us. What really is it that he desires? And we need to take time, and we need to set aside time. So here's what that looks like. That in this next week, for some of you, you may need to just say, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm not going to watch this football game, or I'm not going to watch this show, or I'm not going to talk to this person. I'm going to go to bed early, and the next morning I'm going to set my alarm an hour earlier than I normally do. And during that hour, I'm going to set aside that hour to pray. I'm going to set aside that hour to spend time with the Lord and to seek the Lord before I even consider what plans I might have. For some of you that don't have as full of a schedule on a daily basis, it may not be that you need to wake up earlier, but it may mean that you just need to put on your calendar, almost like a lunch appointment, that at 3 o'clock on this certain afternoon that you're going to go for a walk, and that you're going to walk for an hour, and during that hour, you're specifically, you're going to ask the Lord to help you as you plan your spiritual progress, as you plan to develop wisdom in your life. Some of us need to spend more than an hour. Some of us need to consider what it would be like to take a whole day off and to go somewhere without our cell phone, without our any sort of thing that can distract us. And we need to just ask the Lord to start developing desires and developing ideas and plans inside of our life to how we can start carrying those out. So I think it begins with prayer, as it says. And then number two, I think it begins in trusting the plan and the goodness of God. And those passages right there say that God is not going to be the one who tempts you. He's not going to be the one who walks in and says that if you're questioning his goodness, or if you're questioning his faithfulness, that's not coming from him. So we need to be people who walk forward in this and trust that the Lord does have a plan for our lives. He does want to develop certain areas of spiritual growth in our own life, in our own family, and in our own church. We need to be people who trust that. So here's how, here's some specific examples about how we do it, all right? Number one is intake. How do we intake the word? It says receive the word with meekness, receive the word with humility. How do we begin to do that? Well, again, it could look different for each of us, but here's one way that you can do that, is you eat cereal in the morning. Every morning you probably have a routine. It might not be cereal, it may be oatmeal. It may not be oatmeal, it may just be coffee, right? Well, while you're doing that, while it's part of your routine, what you can do is make sure that wherever that coffee cup is the night before, and you know you're going to go get it there, go grab your Bible and go stick your Bible next to where you're going to sit down and drop that coffee cup. Or go stick your Bible next to where you know you're going to eat your oatmeal, and go ahead and open it up to a chapter of the Bible and do your best to read through that chapter of the Bible. So have a goal of reading an entire chapter in the Bible as you eat breakfast that morning. Now, a lot of us, that might mean that we have to take our newspaper and we have to put it on the side instead of doing that. It may be that we have to actually replace that for a little while until later on, or maybe there's a better time. But all that to say is that there's specific rituals, there's specific things in our life when we can insert receiving or intaking the word of God. If you don't know where to start, I encourage you to start in the book of John. Flip to John and try to read John chapter 1. You may not understand everything that's in there. That's okay. Read John chapter 1. If you don't understand anything that's in there, just read it again the next day. Maybe you will. Maybe it will make more sense the next day. If it means that you read John 1 every day for a week, that is an outstanding plan of action to begin developing and begin intaking the word of God in your life. Go to John, read chapter 1, and read it every day for a week. Now, maybe it is that you want to read chapter 1, and the next day you want to read chapter 2, and then read chapter 3, and then read chapter 4. And you do that for 5 or 6 days in a row. And that is a way that you can begin to intake the word of the Lord. As you do that, as you begin to read it, my second encouragement to you is to go get one of these, okay? Go get one of these, right? It doesn't have to be this color. It can be pretty and frilly and purple, right? It can be a journal with flowers on it. It can be something. It doesn't even have to be that. It can be something more than just like this, that's just a piece of notebook paper. And put it next to your Bibles, right? So you have your oatmeal right here. You have your Bible open in the middle. And on the right, if you're right-handed, put it there. If you're left, put it on the left. And start writing down notes as you read your Bible. So you're reading through John chapter 1, and it says, the Word became flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us. And you think, what in the world does it mean that the Word became flesh? So you take your pen, and on that piece of paper, you write down, what does it mean that the Word became flesh? Just write down that question that you have, and then keep reading. Another advantage of having a piece of paper on the side like this as you take notes is that most of us, when we're reading the Bible or when we're spending time praying, is our minds get very distracted. And really, as we're trying to read through it, what we're thinking about is, do I need bananas and sugar and bread at the store today? Or what time does that meeting start? Or when did we say we're going to go visit the family if I've got to do this and this and this? And so as those thoughts start interrupting your study, and as you think, oh, did I water the flowers last night? Take your piece of paper and at the bottom, just write that down. Did I water the flowers tonight? Take that idea and just throw it away, because if not, next thing you know, 5 minutes later, you're going to be down this rabbit trail and you're going to be wondering about your flowers or your grocery list or something else other than the scriptures. So a practical way to kind of get rid of that thought is to just write it down at the bottom of the page. And at the end, whoosh, tear it off, take your little to-do list with you and go back to reading whatever chapter it is in the Bible. Okay, in addition to reading the scriptures, here's another way that we can move forward in our growth and in planning. In addition to reading the scriptures, I think there's three other places that we can read. Now, most of us probably, believe it or not, I'm in the PhD program, and Julie will tell you more than anybody else, I don't like to read. I don't really enjoy it. But I know that it's good for me. I know that it's a way that I grow, and I know that's a way that I learn. So I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. If you're not a big reader, here it is. I'm telling you to do it anyway, okay? And I think there's three different places or areas that you can begin to read. Number one is something that's very short and it's very sweet. It might be in the newspaper that there's a section that's specifically on religion, specifically on God, that is there. Now, you have to be careful what you're digesting there, but it might be something short and sweet like that. It might be a magazine that you subscribe to. It might be a forwarded email that you get based on a system. It might be your quarterly, okay? A lot of us, our quarterly, our Sunday school material is the best way for us to get a short sort of and sweet word from the Lord for that day. And so we just read that. It's short, it's concise, and we don't have to spend tons and tons of time thinking about it. And I think that's one way we need to on a regular basis do it. A second way, though, I think, is we need to study. We need to start looking for longer books about the Christian life. There are some readers among us. If you need a good book, I encourage you to go ask Betty for a book that's meant something to her. I guarantee you she has a long list of books that she can share with you. And she might even let you borrow that book. We have a library in the back that you can go and find some from. I know Dwayne is also a big reader, and so if you need a suggestion on where to start on a book to read, go ask Dwayne for a book, and I encourage you to really study the book. This is a book that takes longer to read, it's slower, it's harder to digest, but give it a try. Give it a try and see if the Lord doesn't use study in that way to start developing new desires and new questions and new understandings about the Scripture. And the third way that I think that we can start reading, and this is maybe more fun for most of us, is biographies, okay? There have been some unbelievable biographies about men and women of the faith that God has used throughout the life of the church. And people have written just wonderful stories about a guy named Jim Elliot. Or they wouldn't have written wonderful stories about Martin Luther. And you can go and you can go find those books, and as you read those things, they begin to inspire you in a way that you can't believe. That if you go and you kind of do your rigorous, I got to do it, 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 all of a sudden that becomes dutiful. But then you read this story about this woman that the Lord has used, and her faith is so wonderful, and she has prayed in this way. And as you read that, God uses that to inspire and give you sort of a new sense of energy about your own Christian life. So I encourage you to read short, quick things. I encourage you to study, to really find something that's harder to read and to go after it. Thirdly, to do a Christian biography. Now, we can't do all of those at once necessarily, so pick one of those today and try to make it your goal in this next week or this next month to do one of those things. Now, some of us, as I said, are not readers, and so another way that we can grow in our faith, that we can intake the Word of God, is by listening. Okay, we can listen. I know that for a long time in my life, as I said, I didn't like to read, and I wanted to read the Bible. So what I did is I got these tapes, and on these tapes, it's somebody that just reads the Bible to me. Right? Sounds lazy, but that's what I did. And after a while, I really started to learn and started to pick up on different things, because I would just play 1 John, you know, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks at a time. And as I started intaking it, all of a sudden, I was much more familiar with the Word of God, and I was growing in my own life just by listening to, at the time, what was a cassette tape in my car as I drove around. And it's a great way that we can intake the Word of God. Another great way is by listening to sermons. There are lots and lots and lots of very gifted preachers that you can kind of find to fit your style and your desire. And you can go and you can subscribe to those things online. You can go to the library. You can check them out. You can find people that have copies of those. And you can start making that part of your regular diet, is that when you get in the car once a week, every Wednesday, let's say, that you're just going to pop a sermon in when you have a long drive. And you're going to make that part of the way that you start beginning to grow in your love and your desire for the Word of the Lord. Another way, besides radio or podcast or TV or other things, is to come to church and to listen to the Word preached. Listen to the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 9 read and see what it means that the blood of bulls and goats is not enough, but the blood of Christ is. So we come and we hear the Word read. We come on Wednesday nights and we hear the Word read. We come on Sunday nights and we're reminded again through the listening of the Word. Now this next one, another last way to intake, I think is probably the most difficult, and that is memorization. Okay, what is your plan or what is your goal to memorize in the Scriptures? Have you thought about that in a while? Now most of us have tried it and we've failed. We've tried it and we've failed. We've tried it and we've failed. And maybe because we don't have a good plan. I have several booklets that if anyone is interested in doing that, that I have, that I would be happy to send home with you that make it a little bit easier. But I encourage you, even if it's one verse of Scripture, to stick it on a note card like this. I think I've got, one with me. Stick it on a note card, a short, write it out, and just stick it in your pocket. And that way every time you pull your wallet out, you're going to see it and you can read it. Or stick it in the dash of your car, and as you crank the keys, grab it and just read it and slowly start to try to memorize what it says and then just put it back there. These are practical ways that we as a church can begin intaking the Word of God and we can become doers of the Word of God. Now I've got, I've actually got a lot more here, but it's taking me longer to say it than I thought. So what I want to do is I just want to bring it to a close. And I encourage you, this week, that you would begin to develop a plan in your own life. You begin to think, what is it that I want to accomplish, and how do I want to start accomplishing that? And finally, I'm going to offer my time, I'm going to offer Dwayne's time, Corey's time, if somebody wants help developing a plan for that, so that you don't set out and you try to accomplish 25 things all at one time and you fail and then you stop because the plan doesn't seem to work. That we can help you, as Proverbs says, to be a group of counselors to come up with a plan that will actually work, to give you an action step that is actually reasonable, something that you can do in your own life that you can start to develop confidence in, and then maybe later on that you can grow in. As the pastor of this church, it is my desire, I would say, to see each one of us growing in godliness, each one of us pursuing growth in the Scriptures, growth in our own spiritual life, growth in the life of those who in which we have influence over. And I think that being doers of the Word and having a plan is one of the best ways that we can do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as you have planned, even as you have set things in order from the beginning of creation, I pray that we as your people would begin to imitate you and that we would live in an orderly way, in a way that has plans and things that we want to accomplish. We'd be those that evaluate our lives, that start to take action and start to instill some of these things into our daily routines. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone who has tried and who has tried and who has tried and who is discouraged, I pray this morning you would give them the encouragement to saddle back up and do it again, to give it a try again, to maybe try to memorize a verse of the Scripture, to maybe try to commit to, as they eat their breakfast every morning, to read a passage of the Scriptures. Father, maybe it means that we just spend some time to really go through our quarterly Sunday school material on a daily basis or every other day or something. Father, I pray that each one of us would grow in our desire, in our love, in our intake of the Scriptures. Father, we can't do this without your help. And so this morning we do We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song of response. Sing a song together. So let's do that this time.